The Reverend Dr. Mitri Raheb is a Palestinian Christian pastor who was invited to speak at our General Synod a few weeks ago. And preaching on the theme of unexpected places that we've been looking at throughout the summer, Reverend Raheb suggested to us that the fundamental question of Christianity is not, is there a God, but rather, where are you, God? Throughout this series this summer, we have seen that the places that we often expect to find God and the places where God actually shows up are often very different places. I think typically we in the world, even as Christians, expect to find God in sunsets and flowers, the birth of a baby, the smile of a loved one, Christmas and Easter, church buildings on Sunday mornings. In essence, we expect to find God in moments of beauty and joy, in times when we get what we want, we say we're blessed, and when good seems to prevail, we assume that God is there in those places and in those moments. But we also know that the scriptures so often challenge the conventional wisdom of our society. And so, how do the scriptures answer the question, where are you, God? Well, in the scriptures we find God in the temple, sometimes, and in beauty and baby births, on top of mountains and in the midst of battlefield victories, yes, we find God in many of those expected places, at times. But where the story really moves forward is when God decides to show up in an unexpected place. If you think about it, God comes on the scene in Genesis 1, where? In a dark and empty, formless void. We saw how God showed up in the barren household of Abram and Sarah. We saw how God showed up in the wilderness to a foreign exile named Hagar. We saw God show up to the lying and manipulative Jacob when he fled from his angry brother and again when he returned home. We've seen God show up in the jail cell of a man unjustly tattered and torn by the world named Joseph. And we've seen God show up in a wilderness bush to a refugee shepherd named Moses. And this is really just the first book and a half of this bigger book. But it sets the tone for a God who continually shows up in unexpected places, in places where people weren't looking for him. But as Christians, we also have a very unique answer to the question, where are you, God? And that's what Paul gets at in Colossians 5. As we look for God, he says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And we have this picture, as Paul begins, of this cosmic, transcendent, sovereign God who is large and in control. But then Paul goes on. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And by the end of this great hymn that Paul is probably quoting from the early Christian church, this cosmic transcendent God has flesh and blood, and is on a cross, has shrunk down to human size. So somehow, the transcendent, majestic God, whose hands are big enough to hold universes, can be found most fully and clearly in a first century man named Jesus. Another Paul, an elder at my last church, would write a newsletter article every month, and he would always end it the same way. He would say, "Don't forget, look for love where God has promised it, in the Lord Jesus Christ." That's the idea. Look for love where God has promised it in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we want to see and know the love of God, where do we look? Where are you, God? In Jesus of Nazareth. Now, as mind-blowing and paradigm-shifting as that is, that this huge, transcendent God who created and sustains all things would show up to us in a human being, as paradigm-shifting as that is, that's still only a partial answer to the question, where are you, God? Because then we have to ask, where can we find Jesus? And that's where the story really gets interesting. Because first we meet Jesus in the virgin womb of a rural Jewish girl. How's that for an unexpected place? And he's introduced to the world in the decidedly humble and unexpected place of a manger in a small town called Bethlehem. And then we see him traveling through the backwoods towns of a region called Galilee. And when we expect Jesus to stay somewhere because everyone loves him and they want to make him king, he goes and leaves. And when we expect Jesus to go around the bad neighborhoods, Jesus goes through them. We find Jesus in the homes of religious men blessing questionable women. And we find Jesus in the home of a questionable tax collector named Zacchaeus, proclaiming that indeed salvation is here, in this home that was built on corruption and extortion. We find Jesus in a Roman palace, which might seem a little more expected for a king, but the only reason he's there is because he's being convicted of treason. And then we find him on a cross where slaves and thieves go to die. And just when we thought we knew where we could find Jesus, just when we thought we had him pinned down, the tomb is empty. And then Jesus, or the Spirit of Jesus, falls down like tongues of fire on an unexpected community of desperate and broken people. And he shows up on the Damascus Road right in the path of a murderous rule follower named Saul. So where do we find Jesus then? We find Jesus among the poor and among sinners and among the undeserving and the forgotten and the broken. And if you can check off any of those boxes this morning, and I can check off a few, I think, well, then the good news is that God might show up in your life and among this community of desperate and broken people. Today marks the end of our Unexpected Places series, which really could go on for a long time. When I shared this series with Steve North and Tom Treese, who both preached in the last few weeks, they both said to me, "Wow, that series, we could have all kinds of stories and texts. We could go through the whole Bible looking at all the unexpected places where God shows up." But we're not going to do that. We're done this week, and we start a new series next week. And so I think we need to ask the question, what is this series all about? Why did the UCC pick this theme of unexpected places for its general synod this year? Well, first, this series is about breaking down the carefully constructed walls that we've built between sacred and secular. That God doesn't just show up in this building. That God might show up in our homes, in low-income housing projects, in public buildings and grocery stores and all kinds of places as well. That God doesn't just show up on Christian music stations, but there might be some other songwriters who have some truth and hope to share as well. That God doesn't just show up in the words at Christian bookstores, but there might be some value in the words of those who don't write books that we can buy in those specific places. And I'm not talking about having monuments to Christianity put up in public places. That's a cheap substitute for us showing up in public places with the Spirit of God shining through our hearts with grace and comfort and wisdom to be shared with others. So first, it's about breaking down those walls between sacred and secular. And second, and related, this series is about training our minds and our hearts to go where the world has trained us not to go. In fact, to go and be in the places where the world has trained us to avoid. That we would not drive by Manhattan Road or the Ottawa Cove apartments on Souter Avenue and shake our heads and think, boy, I'm glad God, I don't have to live there. That we would not ignore or dismiss the voices of people of color and immigrants. And for us who are older, the voices of young people. And for those of us who are younger, the voices of older people. Just because their experience and reality is different than ours. And that we would not hole ourselves up in American individualism and isolate ourselves in our own consumer self-centeredness. But rather that we would learn to find God in vulnerability and brokenness and relationship and community. That we would find God's voice speaking to us through the voices of those whose experiences are different than our own. That we would begin to engage our neighbors in the next house or in the next neighborhood or in the next nation, especially the undesirable houses and neighborhoods and nations. And that we would find Jesus there and say with Jacob, surely God is in this place. And I didn't even know it. So here's the practice this week for us. First, we said, where are you, God? Well, we find God in Jesus of Nazareth. So find God in Jesus. What does that mean? It means open up a gospel. You can pick any one, but I especially recommend the Gospel of Luke. And as you look through the Gospel of Luke, especially take note of those places where Jesus shows up. Lots of unexpected places. Take note of those places. And once you have a decent list going, take some time to prayerfully consider what the modern day equivalents of those places might be in our world. What's the modern day, in our society, equivalent of Zacchaeus' home? What's the modern day equivalent of the manger? What's the modern day equivalent of the cross? And so on. And then somehow, whether it be reading or just going there and taking a book and sitting down on a bench, go there. Get face to face with one of those unexpected people that God tends to show up to. And ask questions and listen. Or just observe, be present, and ask God, where are you showing up here? How can I see you in the life of this person? How might this group of people be experiencing you right now? How can I be a part of that? And if you do that, or if you've done that, and found God in an unexpected place, I encourage you to give me a call or email or Facebook message me this week and maybe consider sharing that story next week. It'll be a nice bridge between series. Next week we're going to be talking about stories, and so what better stories to share than times where we encountered God in unexpected places? So that's how we can maybe put this series into practice this week. But in conclusion, let's remember that when we talk about faith, we're not talking about just a list of do's and don'ts. We're talking about an adventure in which we search for God in all of the places that the world would never expect to look, among the poor and the sinful and the undeserving and the forgotten and the broken, and come to the realization that surely God is in that place too, even the places we didn't expect. Let's pray. Surprising God, you keep us on our toes. When we feel like we have you pinned down and in our grasp, God, you show up somewhere else. And sometimes in people and places that we would rather you not show up, if we're honest. God, break down those walls in our lives. Help us to be willing to go to the lost and forgotten and the broken and the poor and the sinful places, the God-forsaken places of this world, and find that they are not God-forsaken at all, but that you are there waiting for us. Help us, God, to find you in unexpected places so that our faith would grow, and that we would have more and more reason to praise you for your grace and your glory and your mercy and your love on our behalf and on behalf of the world. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.